Good morning, everyone. I hope this message does find you well. I know I say that every time, sort of getting to be a standard opening, but I truly do believe this. I hope with all that is going on with the pandemic and any other issues in life which we are facing, I do hope and pray that this message does find you well. So my text, or the text for today, is based in Galatians chapter 2, verses 20 to 21. It says, I have been crucified with, this is Paul, of course, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, then Christ died for nothing. Paul explains here that to have faith in Jesus Christ, to live by faith in the Son of God, means that we live knowing and believing that we have been saved. It's about salvation and how salvation comes, how it became possible, and what it means to each and every person who has accepted Christ as their Savior. It comes not by the law, but by grace. It's not anything that we do. It is a gift. As Paul and Barnabas stated in Acts 15, verse 11, when they were preaching, they say, no, we believe it is through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ that we are saved, just as they are. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5, Paul writes, we were made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. We all know the scripture, Ephesians 2, verse 8. It says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. And why grace? That's answered by Paul as well in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. He said, he saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. What grace says and means is that all are sinners, but everyone can be saved through faith in Christ. In commenting on the answer to question number 30 in the New City Catechism, which I know some of you have, John writes in his commentary some very meaningful things. He says, sometimes I wonder if we realize what a big word salvation is. What does it mean to be saved? What's the meaning of salvation? He asks. And he answers this, it means safe, saved for eternity to be with Christ. But it also means that we are healed. It means we are forgiven. It means we have been adopted. It means we have been made whole. And I will add, it has made us free. Salvation is a big word. It means that we are restored to our relationship with God. We've been given life with God now, and we've also been given the gift of eternal life with God in heaven forever. So salvation is big. Salvation is a gift of God. It's not something that we can earn, even though that's the way many people and other beliefs and religions may feel about it. It is not something we can achieve, but it's something that we can receive. Salvation can come instantly. For some, as it did for Zacchaeus, if we went to the book of, or the Gospel of Luke in chapter 19 at the beginning, the story is about Jesus entering Jericho, and as he was passing through, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed up a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, he's gone to be with the guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, Lord, look, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. And then Jesus said to him, today, salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save. That's the lost, to bring salvation to everyone. So salvation can come in a moment of realization, as it did for Zacchaeus, who immediately recognized the tremendous gift that he had received. Salvation can be heard in the testimony of many others, even in our own congregation. It can be seen by the change that takes place in people when they first come to Christ. But it is also something that is lived out over the course of our lifetime. John Yeats quotes this story of about an old English bishop who was walking down a London street when a sidewalk evangelist said to him, sir, have you been saved? And the old man's answer was very significant. According to the story, he stopped and thought, and then in a very gracious way said, yes, I have been saved. I am being saved, and I shall be saved. What did he mean? He meant that he could not look back on a moment in time when he put faith in Christ and turned to him in faith and hope, and he experienced salvation. But he also meant that salvation was something he was living and experiencing more and more of every day. And salvation was something he was going to enter into more fully when he went to be with the Lord in his next life. Salvation begins with God opening our eyes to begin to grasp, to see how much we need Jesus Christ. As long as we think we can save our way to salvation somehow, or save ourselves somehow, that way, unfortunately, is closed off. I'd like to read a couple of examples that I found quite interesting that illustrate this point. The first one is about a group of believers was meeting by a river when one of their group fell into the water. It was obvious that the poor fellow couldn't swim, and he thrashed about wildly. One of the believers was a strong swimmer and was called on to jump in and save the man before he drowned. But though able to save the drowning man, he just watched until the wild struggle subsided. Then he dove in and pulled the man to safety. When the rescue was over, the rescuer explained his slowness to act. He says, if I had jumped in immediately, he would have been strong enough to drown both of us. Only by waiting until he was too exhausted to try to save himself could I save him. It seems to be all too easy for us to be like that drowning man. Our self-efforts can actually prevent us from being saved. Unfortunately, some people must reach the point of being too exhausted to continue to try saving themselves by trying to deal with their own sin before they become willing to trust in the Savior or in our Savior and accept His gift of salvation. So the drowning man shows that trying to save ourselves is impossible. The other example is a little bit more current, I guess, in some aspects. It's about, you know, how do we get rid of all the dirt in our lives and how we try to do it. I remember my stepmother. She would clean the house she was feverish about cleaning the house, especially the day before the cleaner was to come and clean. It's the same, and I'm sure all of us do this, at least I do. Before going to a dentist, it says here, before going to a dentist, we usually brush our teeth with extra care to ensure their spotlessness under examination. We probably now floss and do all the other things the dentist asks us to do. But later, the dentist can still swish a red liquid around in our mouth, which reveals, to our horror, of course, a tremendous amount of plaque and other undesirable material that we could not remove in spite of all of our brushing. The dentist alone has the equipment to adequately remove the dirt. So likewise, we may try on our own to be clean before God, and may even do a good job of convincing ourselves that we are in pretty good shape, but God's Spirit has a way of exposing both our sinfulness and the need for a divine dentist to make us clean. Quite an interesting illustration, of course. You know, being saved is about coming to God with an awareness of a humble need. It means coming in faith. It means repenting of our sins. It means laying out before God how badly we need Him. And that is only just the beginning of salvation. Paul, once again, in the book of Romans, chapter 10, says that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. This was the message of the apostles. Same similar message as Peter preached in Acts chapter 4, verse 12. He says, "There is no other name by which we may be saved. Salvation comes through Jesus Christ." But this faith that marks our new resurrection way of life is not a faith in something that is abstract. It is a faith in the crucified Christ, the one who loved me and gave himself for me, as we read at the beginning of this message in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. It is faith in Jesus Christ, faith in the one who died and paid for our sins. I ask myself, how strong is our belief? How do we really have not just what I would call faith, but faith in Christ? Faith in who He is, what He did, how He humbled Himself and died on the cross. As Paul writes just a few verses earlier in Galatians chapter 2, starting in 16, he says, "Know that a person is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Christ. So we too have put our faith in Christ, that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law, because by the works of the law, no one will be justified. No one will be saved." So where does this lead us? It leads us to a gospel-based life that inevitably leads, as Paul calls it, a crucified life. He started Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, with, "I have been crucified with Christ." But that doesn't mean that we stop living. That means that Christ lives in us. Because he goes on in Galatians 2:20 and he says, "I've been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me." His resurrection, his life takes over our earthly life. So while we may end up dying to what we held dear in this life, we will nevertheless live to God and to Christ. For the same one who raised Jesus Christ up from the grave will also raise us up. It says again, "I've been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me." It is by this means of grace, faith, that we have salvation, and that we have been given the mind of Christ, as it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2:16. "For who has known the mind of the Lord to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." If we can base our lives on the life of Christ, if Jesus truly lives within us, then the Christ who is in us will do what Christ did in his earthly life. He loved others and gave himself for others. So too, this life in us will cause us to want to do exactly the same. We will base our life on love. We will base our life on love for God with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our soul. We will base our life on the love of our neighbor and all that that represents. So let's ask ourselves, do I have faith in Christ? Or am I trying to mix law and grace? Am I rejoicing in the fact that I am justified by faith in Christ, justified and saved? As it says in Romans 5, verse 1, therefore, since we've been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's ask ourselves, am I walking in the liberty of grace, no longer in bondage to sin and the law? Am I willing to defend the truth of the gospel? Am I walking uprightly according to the truth of the gospel? You know, in summary, for some, this may be difficult to understand, comprehend. I'll read another example that was written by a man who said, I don't understand electricity, but I'm no fool. I'm not going to sit around in the dark until I do. He says, I don't understand the thermodynamics of an internal combustion engine and the hydraulics of an automatic transmission either. But he says, I'm no fool. I'm not going to stay in one place until I do. The truth is that I don't understand a great deal of the things that are part of my everyday life, but I make them a part of my life anyway. The same is true of salvation. No one will really understand how God became man, how he could die, how his death could be the basis for our forgiveness, how he could give you and I a new life and all of the other aspects of salvation. But only a fool would ignore such a great opportunity just because he didn't understand it. We should pray for understanding. But God's word is there. It's very clear. We are totally dependent on Jesus Christ for our salvation. His death for our sin. His life for our righteousness. It is so important that we understand this. Salvation comes only through faith in him. No other way. No other Savior, no one else, not even by our own efforts. Even though sometimes we are tempted, we still try to rely on our own self-sufficiency. It's thanks to the gift of grace, faith in Christ, and our salvation that we can count on by our faith in Christ. Our faith in Christ and our salvation then transforms us into wanting to please God and to put into practice the mind of Christ. In a book written by Greg Gilbert called What is the Gospel? He writes a summary about this part. He says, putting our faith in Christ means that we utterly renounce any other hope of being counted righteous before God. Faith in Christ means admitting that we are woefully insufficient and trusting in Christ alone. He gives the example. It means jumping off the edge of the swimming pool and saying, Jesus, catch me. I'm done. I have no other hope, no other Savior. Save me, Jesus, or I die. That is faith. Faith in Jesus Christ. You know, we live in a time, unfortunately, when many people reject the idea that faith in Christ is necessary in order to become a child of God and an inheritor of eternal life. And yet I remind them and all of us what Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 6. And Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. for as I will summarize, Jesus Christ is our pathway to salvation. Thanks to grace and faith. I'll close with a quick prayer. Lord, thank you for this gift, this precious gift of an inestimable value, this gift of grace, faith in you, Lord Jesus, that you are in us and that we will be with you for eternity, not because of what we have done or do, but because of what you have done. Your word is truth. You have shown us the way and the only hope for salvation. Pray, strengthen our belief in your promises as we walk in faith. In your holy, righteous name, Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen.